The Healer, The Healing Work of Mary Baker Eddy, compiled and arranged by David Keeston. Part 6. From Matthew. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Without beginning and without end. Healings after 1910. There are several instances of healing in which Mrs. Eddy, or the acknowledgement of her, has been the means of healing to the sufferer. These healings having taken place after her passing from the human scene. These interesting accounts came to light as a direct result of the publication of the first edition of this book. In the days of the apostles, many were healed merely through the invocation of the Holy Spirit, through the declaration of Christ Jesus' name. The several instances of Mrs. Eddy healing individuals instantly after she had left us are related by people who have had intimate association with the prospering of the cause of Christian Science. We include them here so that others may further reflect upon the significance of the final revelation of healing truth, as revealed in Science and Health, and as practiced by Mary Baker Eddy and Christ Jesus. Number 295. Richard C. Shoup, Sr., at one time the Committee on Publication for Georgia. The Committee on Publication is an authorized office established in Mrs. Eddy's church manual. Shortly after Mrs. Eddy's passing, relates an interesting experience in his reminiscences. Mr. Shoup was in the business of providing large equipment to major newspapers and printing houses. In 1915, Mr. Shoup sold to the Christian Science Publishing Society equipment that automatically folded, wrapped, and addressed the Christian Science monitors for mailing. Mr. Shoup and his wife had gone through Christian Science class instruction with a teacher in Wilmington, Delaware, where Mr. Shoup had been brought up. The teacher asked the Shoups to come to Wilmington for some reason and said that it was an emergency. As the Shoups were living in New York City at the time, they left for Wilmington hurriedly, without cleaning up their apartment. When they got to their destination, this teacher asked them to do something that was not according to principle. They refused to do so and left to return home. Upon arriving home, Mr. Shoup fell on the floor of the apartment, writhing in pain. His wife was shouting words of truth at him while shaking him, trying to get him off the floor. Suddenly, Mrs. Eddy appeared in bodily form and said, "Evil, error cannot rob, cheat, harm, or defraud you." And Mr. Shoup was instantly healed. Mrs. Shoup at the time said to Mrs. Eddy, "Won't you sit down and stay for a while?" Mrs. Eddy replied, "I cannot stay where there is so much confusion," and she vanished from their sight. Remember, their apartment had not been cleaned up prior to their leaving for Wilmington. The author of this reminiscence always believed that Mrs. Eddy saved Mr. Shoup because she, Mrs. Eddy, knew that Mr. Shoup would later be the one responsible for convincing the Christian Science Board of Directors to explore Mrs. Eddy's place in biblical prophecy, wherein the church subsequently published the pamphlet, Mrs. Eddy's Place. See the July 1943 Christian Science Journal, which chronicles six specific points of how Mrs. Eddy viewed herself in relation to the fulfillment of scriptural prophecy, especially chapters 10 and 12 of Revelation. See Appendix 1 for a copy of Mrs. Eddy's Place. Number 296. Many are aware of the wonderful work that Gilbert C. Carpenter Sr., CSB, and his son, Gilbert C. Carpenter Jr., CSB, have done for the cause of Christian Science in the preservation of many precious accounts of early students of Mrs. Eddy's. Helen M. Wright, noted author of over a dozen books on Mary Baker Eddy, was a longtime friend of the Carpenters. She was a stalwart defender of and obedient to Mrs. Eddy's church manual, as well as one who clearly writes of Mrs. Eddy's prophesied biblical status in her writings. The following is an experience Mrs. Wright shared with the author of this book. Gilbert Sr. was a secretary to Mrs. Eddy for 1 year. Mrs. Eddy made the comment to him upon his departure from the home that during the entire year spent with her, you have not committed a single moral offense. The Carpenters are credited with the preservation of almost all of the significant information in the public domain concerning inspired accounts of Mrs. Eddy and her students. Some years later, after Mrs. Eddy's passing, there was a period of widespread persecution by the church of those that saw her as the one chosen of God and prophesied of by Christ Jesus, a view perceived only through spiritual sense, but universally acknowledged by all of Mrs. Eddy's loyal students. These faithful students were maligned, removed from positions of teaching, etc. During one of these purges, Gilbert Sr. and Gilbert Jr. were called to Boston to see the directors of that time. This was in the 1940s. After their interview with the board, they came out visibly shaken because of the unjust treatment Gilbert Sr. had received because of his fidelity to his teacher and leader, Mary Baker Eddy. The result of his publishing truthful accounts of memoirs and reminiscences of those loyal early workers in the cause of Christian Science. He was told to immediately cease his publishing activities or suffer the loss of his teaching credentials, etc. Gilbert Jr. was so distraught over the shabby treatment of his father, such a loyal worker in Mrs. Eddy's home, that he went out to the Boston Commons, a short distance from the church, fell down on the grass, and cried like a baby. At the time this was told to Helen Wright, she too cried when she heard this. Gilbert Jr. said that then it was as if Mrs. Eddy put her hand on my shoulder and said, "When my children need me, I will be there." His grief and indignation at how unjustly his father had been treated vanished instantly. He was healed then and there. The Carpenters went on to publish some of the most inspiring accounts and truthful reminiscences of early church history ever published. Many of their books are quoted in this volume. The world owes them a debt of gratitude for their perseverance and fidelity to the cause of truth, and for their faithfulness, spiritual mindedness, and love of their leader. Number 297. At my first meeting with Reginald Carey, after he had sent his third or fourth letter out to the field, in an effort to awaken Christian Scientists to the corruption in the Mother Church, I asked him what had started him on this investigation. Part of his answer included a wonderful healing he had some years before. He said, as well as I can remember, that both his wife and his mother had passed on very close to each other from the claim of a terminal disease, and he had begun to suffer physically from something that he felt might be the same thing. He prayed and had help, but it persisted. One evening, he came home from work and found that the pain seemed unbearable, causing him literally to fall to his knees on the living room floor. His whole being was reaching out to God for release from this pain, when his eyes opened and directly met Mrs. Eddy's eyes in a very rare portrait of Mrs. Eddy, which hung on his living room wall. He said that as her eyes looked into his, he felt immediate release and claimed a spontaneous healing right then and there. He was so relieved and so grateful that he told her right then and there that he would spend the rest of his mortal life doing everything he could to promote her cause and to preserve it according to her teachings. This vow soon brought him east and eventually had him working for the Mother Church. Although Reg Carey's contribution to the Christian Science movement is significant, he will probably never be given the credit due him, but he loved Mary Baker Eddy more than anything in the world. Number 298. Lauren Allen Mansfield, founder of Equus Institute, provided the funds and the impetus for the placement of Mrs. Eddy's great work, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, in hotel and motel rooms next to the Bible. It has been the most successful program in the distribution of this remarkable book in over half a century. Bill and Helen Wright were friends with Mr. Mansfield and worked with him to establish the Mary Baker Eddy Foundation. But he passed on before it was established. Mr. Mansfield was visiting the Wrights in the Northwest some 10 years ago. While there, he was staying in an attic bedroom, where hung over the head of the bed a portrait of Mrs. Eddy. Mr. Mansfield had been afflicted for some time with a serious problem concerning one of his legs. This particular evening, after a day of suffering and intense pain, unable to sleep, he got up and knelt beside the bed, and praying, looked up at the picture at the head of the bed and said, "Mary Baker Eddy, if you were here, you could heal me." In the very next breath, he heard the audible reply, "I am here. You are healed." The pain in his leg instantly was gone. Praising and thanking God for this, he went to bed for a restful night's sleep.